Get after it here. It's a Monday morning. How you doing, everybody? Hope you had a good weekend. Welcome to TSN 1200 and this 24th day of January 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer on a cold winter's morning. You are waking up to yet another extreme cold warning for Ottawa. We are going to have a sunny start to the day, but then clouding over. And the temperature should rise. So this cold warning is really only for early this morning. But we'll get up to minus 11 a little later on today. Still below normal, but not excessive. For tomorrow, we're actually going to see a couple of flurries, maybe a couple centimeters of snow to start tomorrow. Then cloudy after that, minus 10. Sunny and minus 20 for the high on Wednesday. And then back up to minus 9 on Thursday. So the cold weather continues, and as you wake up this morning, we are sitting a nice, beautiful minus 24. We say hello and good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, Jer. Yeah, that certainly was a chilly one getting in the vehicle this morning and making some interesting noises, and went to my typical McDonald's. It was closed, so I decided to go to the old Tim Hortons at the train yard, Jer, and as I did that, I rolled down my window, got my coffee, I'm ready to go, ready to get back on the highway. My window wouldn't go back up.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah. And so that was a
new wheels, new buggy. What?
Yeah.
It was, the window was frozen, so I had to drive the rest of the way with the heat way up. And then
hang on. It went down, but it didn't go back up.
Yeah. And I was like talking to it. I was like, hey, okay, we're ready to go here. Your other three friends are working fine. What's wrong with you? So, yeah. So, and then as I got here, I guess I had the heat cranked up so much as I went to park, it did finally go back up, but just made for a little bit. Half of my body was frozen.
Okay.
The other one was Arctair super toasty. So
you're gonna be speaking out of the right side of your mouth like Greta Van Susteren used to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good old Greta is the OJ Simpson. Yeah, maybe that, or yeah, I also got a bit of windburn from going out skating on the weekend as well. So jeepers. But I feel pretty good though. Got my coffee and my water, and we're ready to rock and roll.
That's good. We should all be thankful that we've got Simmer with us this morning, and we don't have to chip him out of a block of ice.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So, no, that was a thank God for the sports on the weekend. She was a cold one.
It was.
How was your weekend?
It was good. The weather Friday was Ottawa's first minus 30 degree day this winter season. We did not have, what makes that interesting, maybe only to me, we did not have a minus 30 day at all last winter.
Okay.
Yeah. If that makes any difference to you. And Ottawa's having its, by measurement, its coldest January since 2009. This is by average temperature.
Yeah.
So there you go. And it sounds like this week is going to be, relatively speaking, a cold week. And we're starting off again this morning at minus 24.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I got to say what's real change. And as I look through the studio into Hammer, he's got the coat with the old silver tinfoil inside it, similar to mine. The one fortunate part is, boy, you don't have to bundle up like you used to, right? I mean, the coats and a lot of the other things that we have, the gloves and everything else, the technology so far along that it's not that hard to stay warm. Really wasn't that bad hopping in the vehicle, where when you're a kid, maybe you're not dressed properly, JR, but just remember where you're just shaking and you can feel the cold in your tummy. And maybe it also was the fact that it took the car an hour to warm up and you're sitting on plastic seats, but hey, who's counting?
And seat warmers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Hammer doesn't like his heated, it doesn't like the heated steering wheel though.
No. That's right.
No, exactly. Yeah. Who'd want to have that on a minus 24 degree day?
I don't like the feeling of hot hands.
No, that's fine.
Two weeks their own, right? It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. I love the hot butt. I'm digging the seat. That's all I need. I don't need the hot hands. I've got gloves.
All right. We're not here to judge. If you don't like to be warm, that's fine.
It seems like you are judging by what you're saying or by what you're not saying.
I know we'll break it down, JR, but was that the greatest football weekend in the history of the National Football League?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, I'm so spent by
it. You can't duplicate that, right?
In all honesty, and I was thinking about this last night, and you know, we're all prone to recency bias.
What
we've seen most recently is always goes top, bottom of the list. But I sat there and thought to myself, you know, that can't be topped.
No.
I mean, honestly, all four games were decided on the final play of the game.
Yeah.
All four of them.
Yeah, and the first three, and I was hoping for Bills fans, first three have been decided by the visitor kicker in all three leading into last night. Is that accurate, right? They were all won by field goals
by the visiting
team.
Yeah,
and so you're thinking, okay, well, and when the Bills got that darn tie, you're just like, come on, man. And, you know,
which one?
Well, no, I know, the one to go ahead.
Which
but,
one?
But what also I was thinking of, and we feel so differently, you talk about recency bias. Boy, oh boy, you talk about a franchise that for a long time was knocking on the door. Like, I think back to, would it have been Sam Weish? Was he the longtime coach with Kansas City, JR, back in the day? Schottenheimer.
Sam Weish was Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I mean, how many good teams they
had. You don't live in Cleveland!
Where they'd just fall apart in the playoffs, right? And I just, yeah, you just kind of go through the different fan bases yesterday, and I don't think there's anybody, certainly the local angle, but how you felt. I'm assuming people, I was kind of already, you know, cheering Bills on at 13 seconds left. Like, wow, you deserve this. Now, if people read that this morning, I don't think I deleted it. They're probably going to come after me because they think they deserve to lose.
So, just to establish, because I've been having a hard time keeping track which team and or player that you're cheering for now. So initially, it was obviously Mapats. Then it moved to the Bills for a while. Then it was back to Mapats when they were okay, when they were good this year. Now they lost. And then I thought it was Tom Brady, whoever Tom Brady plays for.
Yeah, for sure.
But then I thought it was the Bills. So Brady is now done.
The Bills are now done.
So we're down to a final four. Now, I know you're happy that Aaron Rodgers got beat on Saturday. Seemed to be drawing a fair bit of glee from that. So we're left with Niners, Rams, Chiefs, and Bengals.
Well,
you want some time to think?
No.
You know what? I reserve the right for you to change your mind.
Yeah.
So don't feel committed
to
a favorite team
right now. No, it's not a favorite team, JR. It's who you're cheering for. And if I was to say right now, what would I like to see as a Super Bowl? Boy, that's I like Jimmy G, but I'd probably go towards Cincy Rams.
Cincy and the Rams.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm feeling right now.
Okay.
But like I said, it's hard to dislike any of the four teams, to be quite honest with you. So we'll see when we get to the Super Bowl. Why are you giggling, Hammer?
Because the Rams did so much to try to lose that game. They tried their best, their hardest. That is the hardest working team to try to lose a game I have ever watched play before.
Crazy.
So I cannot think the Rams are going to make it. I'm thinking Chiefs, Niners in the Super Bowl. I know, Grappa, but that defense, Debo, they'll take care of business. But my God, Rams, like, come on. Finish the job.
Four fumbles. They could have put that game away at the end of the first half when the guy fumbled on the 1 yard line. It would have been 27-3 at halftime.
Yeah. How about a missed 47-yard field goal?
Well, and you know what? They never went back and showed a replay of it, did they? Because I was thinking to myself as the commercial break was on, because when it left his foot and they show from the crowd angle or whatever, you go, oh, wow, he's made that one. That's a big kick or whatever. And then it's like, and then you see the refs waving their arms and you go, what? And it was short from 47 yards. And then they never went back and they never showed it. I don't know if he struck the turf first, like 47 yards in warm weather. Right? Well, I know it was a little cooler in Tampa, but relatively speaking,
it's
warm
a chip
weather.
Shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you make that every single day. You certainly aren't short on it. But they never went back and showed what happened in that play. Yeah, so it started from there, and then there were three total fumbles. Cooper Kupp, of all guys, I mean, he fumbled. He's an MVP candidate. He fumbled. That allowed them to get a score. And then, you're right, the Rams tried to give it to them. But as on top of that, what was Bruce Arians doing kicking a field goal down 27-3 when he had it down at like the 15-yard line on fourth down? 27-3 is 24 points. That's three scores. What is being down 21 points do? You're still down three scores.
Yeah.
That was
a head scratcher.
That was bizarre. Yeah. That was what? You know what? Overall, it was overall to go back to your initial point, Zimmer.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic weekend of football.
Yeah,
just unbelievable.
Yeah.
The NFL, and it was like you just stacked one game on top of the next, and they just kept getting better and better. Like, cap by that game. I think that game last night between the Bills and the Chiefs, is one of the best football games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it reminds me a little of the was it the Patriots KC game the one year? I think they ended up beating. It was a high scoring one, wasn't it? Where you had the Edelman almost touching the thumb.
Yeah,
right?
The AFC Championship. Yeah, game.
It was
the same thing where New England won the toss.
Yeah,
and scored
yeah,
touchdown.
Yeah, you had the fella line up in the neutral zone or whatever. Yeah, you're right. It was just incredible. And when you go through the games, and I, you know, outside of the Niners, Green Bay game, which didn't have a whole lot going on. The other thing that's on display is just the incredible athleticism, right? Like, you're watching that, and I don't even like OBJ, but part of me was like, wow, okay, I can see it. Not that we didn't know that he's a good athlete.
He's been pretty good for a few years.
Oh, no, he has. No, but since he's gone to Cleveland.
One catch one time.
No, I know, but since he went to Cleveland, though, I mean, it's been such a downer, and you also realize Mayfield's not much of a quarterback. And then you're just waiting. Well, I was saying to Hammer before the show, you watch Tariq Hill, and you're just like, you know, how can somebody be that much better than the best athletes, in my estimation, on the planet, right? That is really
faster.
Cool. Faster. But just, you know, to be able to do the stuff that he does is just absolutely incredible. So you're right. On a cold January winter weekend in Canada, boy, that was incredible to watch.
All right. We'll take some time and go through all of it with you, including all of the post-game reaction. It's hard to know where to start, but that Bills-Chiefs game was just, what a nightcap it was. Yeah. And so Kansas City ends up pulling it out in overtime, and now the debate begins. Well, it doesn't begin. It is renewed regarding the NFL's overtime rules, right? And is it fair and is it right? I'm sure if you're a Buffalo fan, you definitely feel one way. And it's hard to argue against it. Got a couple of thoughts on that. But anyway, we'll get into all of that throughout the morning. Not many mornings we'll walk in and we'll go, this Sens game is overshadowed by something else. But yeah, absolutely. But the Sens did get a win. 2-1 over Columbus last night. We'll come back and review that as well and go through the entire sports weekend, as good as it was. We'll do that with you when we return. We're glad you're with us here on a chilly Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back. 6:25 here on a frosty Monday. JR Simmer and Hammer with you. Dave Pullen is our TSN hockey insider. He will join us after 8. And then after 9 o'clock, Duke Ellingson will stop by. Haven't gone through all the picks from the weekend, so don't know whether Duke will be described as our football analyst, our football expert, or just a random football fan.
I went 0-for-4, JR, so I might have to sit the whole thing out.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I was calculating that pretty quickly and realized it was not pretty.
All right, so Duke will join us. We'll talk more NFL with him after 9 and throughout the morning with you, of course, as well. In fact, we'll get to it in just a couple of minutes, but did want to touch upon the Sens, who had a busy weekend. We had lots of football. We also had a pair of Sens games as well. A loss in overtime to Washington Saturday, and then last night, back-to-back games. They went to Columbus. This one tied 1-1 late in the second.
Busting in, here's a chance. Stutzle gets a backhand away, scores! Oh my heavens, forehand to backhand like a dagger. Stutzle makes it 2-1 Ottawa.
And that would stand up as the game winner. Tim Stutzle's 7th goal of the season late in the second. And the Sens hold on for a 2-1 win over Columbus, thanks in no small part to Anton Forsberg. 35 saves in the Ottawa net for his first win in over a month. Here's DJ Smith on our post-game show about the work of his tendy.
Right back to where he was before he got COVID. I thought, his last two starts obviously wasn't very good in Pittsburgh, but, Berkey said he was ready tonight, and this is his old team, and certainly he was.
There you go. Anton Forsberg, the story of the night, as Matt Murray gave them a good night, a good game, actually, I should say, in Washington on Saturday as well. So we'd gone into the weekend, Simmer, with lots of question marks about Sens goaltending. And, two games on the weekend. I don't say the debate is quieted forever, but at least people will be feeling a little bit better about the state of the goaltending based on the weekend.
Yeah, if you're dealing in the here and now, JR, Gus the Bus, first of all, has got to get down playing. Forsberg probably not here past this year. I thought Murray looked outstanding against Washington. What I really wanted for him to go right back in the net and play well. But, hey, Forsberg hopped in, and if down the stretch here, having both of them playing well, certainly is not a bad thing. But the questions that quite simply have to be answered the rest of the way, where is Matt Murray going to be at? And, it's going to be another busy week. And, it's another busy, 3 months until the end of the season here. And we're going to find out an awful lot. But that felt like a different Matt Murray on Saturday night in Washington.
I know a lot of people had thought based on, that he played really well on Saturday and hadn't played in a bit, that it wouldn't be overly taxing for him to go right back at it last night. And it's purely anecdotal on my part.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you it's less than 5, if it's even that high, the number of goalies that have played in back-to-back games around the NHL this year. I mean, it's just
not the way it's done anymore. Things have, you know, the day of the 70 game a year goalie has come and gone for sure. But even if you get up to 55 and 60 games, you know, given the way the schedule works and will work this year with the rescheduled games, you're going to have to play in some back-to-backs. But boy, it does not seem like I don't comb through who starts every single game for every single team.
Yeah.
But I look at it enough to know that I don't think guys hardly ever go back-to-back anymore.
No, and again, circumstance here, Jared, is different when somebody's missed time, they're there, have not played a lot of games. But I agree with you, and we talked about that with Goody on Saturday night. I don't totally understand it, but what I do understand when you go into a season, just like you plan your days off, you plan your training, hey, you plan for the backup goaltender, and generally if it's 3 and 4 back-to-backs, GR, that'll account for about, you know, not a third, but probably 25 starts. And in a perfect world, if your starter is going, what, 57 games and you're going 25, that's the way it's allocated. That's the way it works. And for teams that want to have a design on going deep in the playoffs, it makes an awful lot of sense. But as I said, I just think of this circumstance where I would have really hoped that Matt Murray would have said, hey, man, I'm just ready to rock and roll here. I feel great coming out of Washington. We're on to Columbus, and give me the net.
Meanwhile, it was, I think, the star of the weekend as far as the skaters, or at least the forwards goes, was Tim Stützle. He was a standout in both games, according to the coach. Now, I thought on Saturday he had a couple of unbelievable opportunities. Like to see him cash in a little bit, but he certainly did last night. That was a beautiful goal that he scored as the game winner, his seventh of the season, and certainly seems to have developed a little bit of chemistry with one Alex Formanton. Here's Timmy Stu on that.
I mean, it's just fun playing with him. He's such a fast skater, and I try to give him the puck as much as I can. It's different in soccer. He's a terrible soccer player, so he's got to work on that. But on the ice, it's just a lot of fun trying to build as much chemistry as we can. And so I think it worked out pretty good today.
Wow, what a random assault on Alex Formanton's soccer playing abilities.
Yeah.
Well, he's a terrible soccer player.
Well, and growing up in Canada now, you don't play any other sport. He's never seen a soccer ball. But I'm sure you're having some fun. And also, the level of what Jimmy Stu, growing up in Germany, would consider to be a good soccer player, Jer.
Yes.
Probably a little different than our Canadian standards. Although we're coming. But I bet you for an athlete like that and for, hey, they incorporate and they train, soccer and tennis are such a huge part of it. Not to mention, hey, if I'm German, pretty good chance I've played an awful lot of soccer as a great athlete like old Jimmy Stu.
I'm guessing, having not seen Alex Formanton, that if he did play soccer back in his youth days, I'm guessing his soccer is a lot like his hockey. Yeah. A lot of kick and chase.
Yeah.
Just boom it down the field and let Alex run past everybody and get in.
He'd be a striker.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
he'd be
in there and a whole lot of solo work. But no, it's, hey, this has been a really neat thing because I look at both of these players and part of the time with a guy like Formanton hasn't had a lot to play with. And I'm sure Jimmy Stu or Timmy Stützle been looking around as well. He slides to the middle. Formanton slides up. Suddenly, a couple of young kids that have a lot of speed. In the case of Formanton, you need a lot of reps for the way he plays to get comfortable with somebody. And now we're starting to see JR, and there was that beautiful move against Washington down low. What I also like is he's starting to stop up in the zone and make plays. Mm-hmm. You know, he's starting to do a lot of things now that aren't just all of a sudden the blinders are on and grab the puck and go. So, yeah, really nice to see. And the reps that they're getting and whoever's on the right side, whether it be a Batherson, a Paul, or hopefully when Brown comes back, yeah, starting to see a nice little formation of that duo.
Yeah, it's what the coach noted that as well. Maturing of Alex Formanton's game is that there is some cycle to his game now. It's not just a lot of just use your speed, get in behind the defense, and, you know, get your one or two breakaways a game. Yeah. Not that that's a bad thing.
Nope.
And if you can finish off in a few of them, that'd be even better. But starting to see, some plays within the offensive zone where he is. I mean, you've noted forever, right? Your question about him is, or has been, is he going to be able to play with other players? And we're starting to see a little bit. I mean, that was a really... That was the Washington game, right, where he made the nice little backhanded setup?
Exactly, to Sanford in the slot.
That was a really nice little play there.
Yeah, it was. Now, I don't know exactly if he just thought, you know, saw that or he did it, but whatever. There's just lots of little signs. And again, I think it's really important on different levels here to see the evolution of the players, JR, but kind of looked at Stützle where that top line is together and they're a trio and they're having so much fun and he's kind of looking around. Now you've got, as I said, now we'll see what going forward and kind of big picture, what would be next year Was it Batherson? Will he be with Norris and Tkachuk? And can you fill in that spot with a maybe a higher-end player? And all of a sudden, wow, got a pretty good top six.
Yep, so there you go. All right, so that wraps up a busy weekend for the Sens. They lose 3-2 to Washington in overtime, a game they had the lead, by the way, 2-0. And then somehow Alexander Ovechkin ended up in front of their net alone twice. How does that happen? come back with a big 2-1 win over Columbus last night. So now they return home to start 4 in a row and just a whack of home games coming up over the next, less than a month. I think there's 11 home games over the next 3 weeks for Ottawa, starting tomorrow night with the Buffalo Sabres in town. No Jack Quinn, by the way. Turns out that in that game in which he got his first NHL goal on Thursday, he suffered a lower body injury in the same game and will be out 4 to 6 weeks. So no Jack Quinn for Buffalo, but they'll be in town to play the Sens coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, and actually texting with my buddy Donnie Granato, and he will come on with us tomorrow at 7:10 a.m. So
great.
Lots of angles there to talk about Jack Quinn, talk about, you know, just the Sabres, and hey, what certainly cheering for Donnie. This is a long, hard process in Buffalo, as everybody here in Ottawa knows when you're going into a full rebuild.
Absolutely. Don Granato, coach of the Sabres, will join us on the show coming up tomorrow morning. All right, 6:34, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into more detail on what was an epic football weekend. I think even people, well, I can just tell by my family. I don't have a lot of other football fans in my family. Everybody was watching. First of all, I found out that apparently all of my family hates Tom Brady. I'm not sure why, but they were actively cheering against Tom Brady. It was crazy. Just that Bills-Chiefs game was unbelievable. We'll get into all of it. Aaron Rodgers as well is at the end of his time in Green Bay after an upset loss to the Niners on Saturday. We'll get into all of it when we come back right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Buffalo coming up tomorrow. More on that game coming up throughout the morning, but lots of people talking about the NFL playoff weekend, divisional round weekend. I think we have a web poll question or just a topic last week of what is your favorite weekend of the playoff weekends, right? Super Bowl? Is it the conference championship weekend? Is it the divisional round? I don't think anybody picks the wild card round, and it turned out wild card round was a dud. Most people said, yep, divisional round. That'll be the best week. And you think, yeah, okay. How good can it be? And then this weekend played itself out as it did. It was unbelievable, and you can just stack one great game on top of another, on top of another, and then ending with arguably the best of them all. Maybe not if you're a Buffalo fan based on the final result. What a game it was between the Chiefs and the Bills, a back-and-forth game between two of the very best teams in football. But really, the final 2 minutes was incredible. So Kansas City is up in the fourth quarter. The Bills go on. Was it a 17 or an 18-play drive down the field? Josh Allen converts a couple of fourth downs with his legs to keep the drive and the season alive for the Bills. And they've got another fourth down. So this is just inside of 2 minutes to play. The Bills are down to Kansas City.
Shotgun snap, Allen. Chiefs rush four. Pocket holds. Allen throws over the middle. Caught. Touchdown. Untouched. Into the end zone. It's Gabriel Davis. One beyond the hat trick. He's got four touchdown catches tonight. And the Bills take a 35-33 lead with 13 seconds to play in Kansas City.
Sorry, my bad. That was actually the second time they came back in the final 2 minutes. To convert a fourth down to Gabriel Davis to go ahead. So there we go. So 13 seconds to go. The decision has to be made. What are you going to do? And I know Tony Romo on the TV broadcast said they should squib it down the field a little bit, make sure Kansas City picks it up, burns a couple of precious seconds off the clock. They decided not to do that. They kicked it deep, went into the end zone. No time was lost, and that turned out to be, in retrospect, a bad decision, because Kansas City used every one of those 13 seconds to drive somehow 44 yards in two plays to get in a position for a game-tying field goal. And so let's take you to overtime. And maybe the most important point of the entire game is Josh Allen calling tails on the coin flip. And it came up heads. Kansas City took the ball. And as we know, under the rules of NFL overtime, every team, both teams get a possession unless the first team scores a touchdown. Let's take you to Kansas City. Drives it right down the field. They are at the Buffalo 8-yard line.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown!
Kansas City, one of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fade comeback, and the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Yeah, 42-36 is the final. There's the call on, as you can guess, Kansas City radio of the Chiefs' epic. I don't know, can we call it a comeback win? Because there was a comeback, but then there was a blown lead. I don't know. I don't know what to call it. All I know, it was a just incredible theater.
Yeah, I guess if you're a Bills fan, first allowing them to kick the field goal, JR, you've been kicked you know where. You're still on your knees recovering, and all of a sudden the game is over, right? It's like, I haven't even recovered from them tying the game. I'm so upset. Yeah. And then all of a sudden
Did it not feel, though, like when they lost the toss? Like, whichever team lost the toss, that was going to be the game. I just felt like somebody, the opening possession was going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, I felt it more towards Kansas City just because Buffalo was reeling. But, yeah, the way Buffalo was able to go down the field and what they were able to do, yeah, either way. But just seemed also strange in such a great sporting event. And Hammer and I discussing it, you know, first of all, we've gotten to this point. And I understand in the regular season, you don't want overtime to be a crazy amount of time and the stress on the bodies. But I do wonder in this particular case, say, Not that the coin toss, so you can still defend if you're Buffalo, but the idea you could never touch the ball. I do like the fact that the National Hockey League has different rules for the regular season and for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, there are, if we're going to go down that road of debate, there are a number of different things, right? They could do it like they do, and, you know, this debate has now arisen, what, for the third time in three or four years. Kansas City was on the flip side in the AFC Championship game versus your Pats a couple of years ago, right, where the Patriots got the won the toss, went right down the field, and won the game in Kansas City a few years ago. And then the year before that in the Super Bowl, or the year they beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl, right, same thing. Patriots won the coin toss, went right down the field. Atlanta never touched the ball, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So the three times that we think about it most recently is because, and why we debated is because of events like we saw last night. So there are, you know, the reason they do it what they do is, as it's been explained to me, is the fatigue factor, is especially when it comes to the playoffs and just the total physical exertion that's going on, the safety of the players as they get more and more tired. That's the reason that's, as it's been explained to me, why they have the rule the way that it is. I know lots of people disagree with that. The alternative could be that both teams get a possession. That's one alternative. Another would be the college and CFL rules, which is where you scrimmage at the other team's 35. I personally have never been a big fan of that. I'd like to see, because you're already in a scoring position. When you're at the other team's 35, you're already, at worst, going to be able, unless you screw up, kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So I'd like to, for an offense to have to work a little bit. I don't know if a hybrid of having to start at midfield or the 40-yard line, you know, and each team is guaranteed a possession. I don't know what the solution is. I understand, I'm guessing on Buffalo radio this morning and among the Bills mafia, that they absolutely hate the rule. But you could talk to Kansas City fans 4 years ago, and they hated the rule, and they were on the flip side last night.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Buffalo fan as well, you say, hey, our fault is, JR, 13 seconds left, we have a lead. That's really the storyline. But I think in the case of a coin toss and important games, yeah, I would go to. Now, where possession is, I guess, could be discussed, but I do feel like, hey, regular season, understand, touchdown wins it, but in the playoffs, I think you should have the opportunity to touch the ball. I just don't think it's fair to be decided on a coin toss, so I would do that. But like I say, I respect the athletes and don't want to put anybody in danger, but I feel like everybody, you know, hey, Buffalo now has to come back and score a touchdown, otherwise the game is over.
Okay, all right. So the decision on whether to kick it off or not was in, you know, that with the 13 seconds to go, kick it deep or squib it or what, was certainly one that was debated as well. Here's Bills head coach Sean McDermott on that.
Did you consider kicking it short or maybe kicking it to the goal line after that final touchdown in the fourth quarter to maybe try to get them to run some clock by having to return the ball?
Yeah. We talked about that. And again, you know, I'm just going to put it on the execution at this point, and myself, Jay, I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right. So there you go. And I believe him when he says that. I think we've seen Sean McDermott coach enough to know that he doesn't leave any stone unturned. I'm sure they did debate it. I tend to think myself, and we've seen bad squib kicks as well, you know, where they kick it and they only kick it like, come on, man, you got to kick it more than 20 yards along the ground. And all of a sudden the other team's at the 45. Like, there is a happy medium. And whether it's kind of kicking it to an open part of the field where it lands at about the 20 or something like that. Like, I think in an ideal world, you'd like, you know, 3 or 4 seconds to be burnt off the clock as they have to field it. And again, the clock doesn't start running until the other team touches it.
Yeah,
so that's the other thing. So it isn't like, well, if you squib it and it bounces around crazily for five, oh, you burn 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually start until the other team touches it. So that's the other thing.
Yeah, and if, again, I guess the receiving team, JR, is well-versed, I'm assuming you grab the ball and you hit the ground as soon. Now, do you have to be touched at that point? Or if I went down, would the clock stop
You
right
can
away?
Give yourself up, yes.
Yeah,
so,
okay. So, yeah,
so at
yeah.
that point, I think, I guess it would be maybe 1 second would burn off.
Right? And hey, I think if you're Buffalo coming into a game like that and you have the number one defense in the league and you say to yourself, hey, let's make sure, first of all, we want to avoid Tyreek Hill, who is now back taking some of the kickoffs, and you want to just say, hey, let's get the defense out there. We're confident in our group. I think the better analysis for the football experts would be the lack of execution on the defense as to why you gave up. And so my theory on it, Jerry, I don't think at that point Kansas City's going for the deep ball in a sense of they need a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why you'd play such a fallback prevent defense. That would be my only thought and critique for any of the experts out there as to why that strategy was deployed by your defense.
Well, I mean, if only the deep ball can hurt you, then you do play deeper, right? You want to keep everything in front of you. The problem is, there's a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, they rushed 4, probably should have rushed 3.
Yeah.
If they had kept one more guy back, Kelsey doesn't get it. Was that scene? The second one was the crazy one where he just kind of ran straight down the field, and it was like there was no one there. Like literally, you have one other defender back. That's probably exactly right where you split the two inside, I guess, linebackers, for lack of, you know, in terms of positioning. You kind of split the field there. You've got somebody there. Like, that was a crazy play. Like, he just ran straight down the field, and it was wide open, and he ran right to the 30-yard line.
Yeah, and that's the part, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm waking up with, right? I mean, hey, I'm disappointed. I can talk about the kick. I can talk about overtime rules. But, hey, come on. You know, you have a team that is able to do what you do on the road and give yourself a lead with 13 seconds left. You got to seal the deal at that point.
Yeah. So Buffalo falls again in Kansas City. Last year it was the AFC Championship game. And then last night in the divisional round, I really thought when that game was over and having watched all of the teams on the weekend, I really think those were the two best teams in football, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And that would have been, well, if they had played out exactly the same way in a Super Bowl, that might have been the best Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
So from a disappointment of, I don't know how we top that, you know, in terms of matchups. And we'll see. Listen, there's four good teams left. But I just think from offense to defense to coaching and everything in between, I really think that Kansas City and Buffalo are the two best teams. And somebody's going home early. Buffalo.
Yeah.
That thought they were going home late.
Yeah, no, for sure. And now I'd also look, and I know it was a lack of execution, but from a talent standpoint and now where the defense has come on the Rams side with Miller now back, boy, that's going to be darn good too. Where if I was to say, hey, a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl, I think could be awfully epic as well, not to mention the fact that it'll be at the Rams' home stadium.
Yeah, I'll say about the Rams, though, I agree with you in terms of the talent. I'm not sure about the coaching. Man, they got really conservative in the second half with that big lead, and the execution part was terrible.
Yeah.
They fumbled 4 times. Like, that game, if you think about that Tampa Rams game, that was a mismatch. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even close.
No, not at all.
Right? If the Rams do anything to just hold on to the ball, to just play normally, for lack of a better term, that game is over. Like, I don't know how many times I turned to somebody with my family and said, all right, as soon as this play is over, so if they get a first down here, this game's over. Or if he makes this kick here, this game's over. And yet, here we are. It went down to the final play of the game somehow. So, I don't know. Like, this is not new criticism. I think Sean McVay, for as, you know, as I don't know what the right word. Like, he does some great things off. He's very creative. Creatively. And the way he uses his players, he's a mastermind on offense, but he is actually a very conservative coach. And you saw that play itself out in the second half, where they went away from the things they were having success with. And that, in part, is what allowed, along with the mistakes, the Buccaneers to get back in the game.
Yeah, and I guess from a fumbling standpoint, in the case of Cooper Kupp, like, who's to fault on those types of plays, JR? And, you know, is that a one-off for the Rams? Because if you take that part of it away for one of the best receivers, one of the best football minds, Then what are you left with? And as I said, I still think it's a pretty good situation. And had he, you know, played it conservatively and they don't fumble the ball, then like you say, they're basically just walking their way into the next round. And well, at least now they will host the Niners, right? So they get a home game.
They will. Yes, yeah, it'll be. But they've had they've lost six games in a row to the Niners, including two games this year, including the one 3 or 4 weeks ago,
where
they blew a 17-0 lead and lost in overtime. That game kept San Francisco's season alive.
Yeah,
they might not have even. In fact, I don't think they would have made the playoffs had they ended up losing that game.
No,
so that's where it all started for
them. Yeah, and also I saw quickly when the game was over, they were trying to do some manipulation to try to figure out how to keep the Niners fans out of the game.
Yes,
because that was the other part that we saw last time around, that it was. It felt like it was 70-30 red jerseys for that one, but that'll be fun come Sunday.
Yeah, I'm guessing, knowing, L.A. is not an NFL market. You don't go, whatever it was, 20 years with no team in the second largest market in the country, and nobody really seems to care very much. I know the NFL cares and wants to be there, but I think that's a lot. That's a lot of sort of halfway fans.
Yeah.
So I my guess is as much as, and what they were doing is they were limiting ticket buying for the NFC Championship game to people who have, I don't know how you do it with credit cards, but they're somehow able to manipulate it so that they can keep it within a certain geographical area. First of all, there'll be a ton of Niners fans in LA, period.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a lot of so-so NFL fans with the Rams that'll buy the tickets. And then somebody from San Francisco has got all this high-tech money is going to roll into town and going, what's it going to take for you to give up your tickets to the game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I'll just sell another couple of widgets here for my software company, and I'll just scoop up those tickets. Thank you very much.
And
that's
also,
right. That's what they're going to say. They're going to sell some widgets.
Yeah. Sell some widgets. Yeah.
Yes.
And they'll also say, hey, you know you're going to be back here in 2 weeks. You're hosting the Super Bowl, so why don't you just do it? It really hard. And as you said, Jared, the area in Southern California, like we're talking, 25, 30 million people. It's not like you can figure out who's from Northern California originally, right? Now, to the NFL, I will say, and I don't disagree with you, the issue, though, is that it's always been huge in California, the National Football League. It's just that everybody's from somewhere else and a team is somewhere else, right? I mean, you know, it's not like they're not football fans, but what I think has also changed here, first of all, the profile of the NFL is even higher than it used to be, but California college football has been on a bit of a decline in the sense of the national profile. Now, they still are very popular, but I think if there's ever a chance based on what the Rams are doing in a brand to get it back, but I agree with you at the same time. The other theory is, hey, just like San Diego, there's way too much to do. You know, you have so much going on. But like I said, they're fans there, but they're just a fan of 100 different teams versus just being a California football fan.
All right. We'll hear from Tom Brady later on in the show. He was asked, of course, in the wake of the Bucs loss about his future. And I think for the first time in a while, Tom Brady is undecided. So we'll hear from him coming up about his future. As far as the future of Aaron Rodgers goes, that's certainly up for debate as well. After the Packers, I think, shockingly lost at home to the Niners on Saturday night. What a beautiful night for football, though. It was incredible, eh? The snow falling in the second half.
Yeah.
Crazy game. I mean, if you're a big fan of just offensive shoot-em-out football, you maybe didn't enjoy the game. If you just kind of love football for whatever foibles it goes through, it was a really, really interesting game. 13-10, the Niners win it on a blocked punt, of all things, in the final 5 minutes, and then a field goal to win it at the gun. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers, much discussion about his future. Will it be with Green Bay? Will it be playing football whatsoever? He was asked that question after the game.
You know, I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision, obviously, before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front. You know, so many guys' contracts are up or on the brink or salary cap stuff. So a lot of decisions to be made. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild if I'm going to keep playing. So a lot of decisions, in the next couple months.
Yeah. So that was when I read the quotes yesterday and then just listening to it there, that was the one that jumped out at me. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. Understandable, because Green Bay has been so good with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, but the Packers have, they got to solve some salary cap issues. They're $44 million over the cap as it sits right now. Now, we know with the NFL, you can cut guys, you can shift money around or whatever. That's a lot of money, and they're going to have to let some players go. But the big one they've got to figure out is Devontae Adams, because he is a – now they can franchise him for $20 million, But he wants to be the highest paid receiver in football. That's DeAndre Hopkins at $27 million. So if you franchise him, he's not going to be very happy. At $20 million, he's going to be getting a huge bump from where I think he was at $14 million before. Yeah. So that's an extra six. So now your 44 is 50. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of salary cap gymnastics the Packers are going to have to go through here. Yeah. Before Aaron Rodgers finds out what's left and if he wants to be a part of all of it.
Yeah, and I understand the discussion because it is a star player. To me, the whole focus should be on how come you can't win the big game, but they're at a bit of a crossroads media-wise because they want him to come back. They don't want to upset Aaron Rodgers. And as far as the salary cap, JR, going from 180 to 210, does that mean they're at 250 or does it mean they're that high?
Yep.
Wow, so yeah, and trying to get that down. And in the case of Adams, he deserves to be the highest paid receiver in the league. I don't even think that's in question. So for him, yeah, I'm not taking a dot. Well, I certainly want to be paid to want to be the top guy if I got to go to 28. And I also feel like Aaron Rodgers, they don't have a fallback plan in Green Bay. But this feels like, for many reasons, like the perfect time for him to move on to a new franchise. That's just my personal feel on it. But for Green Bay, you also realize he leaves, Adams leaves, and with the salary cap issues, yeah, you are going into the first rebuild that they've had to go into in 30 years, right?
Well, yeah.
Had a very good team for a long time with two great quarterbacks.
You think about, Tom Brady is synonymous with the New England Patriots, and it's sacrilege to think that after all the success, the six Super Bowls, that Tom Brady would move on to another franchise. But he did. Mm-hmm. And he personally had success. And the Patriots, after a down year last year, had a bounce back year this year. Not to the standards that we saw during the Brady years, but, you know, they look like they've rebounded at least a little bit. Like, you think about these links that are irretrievably broken. But we've Brady won a Super Bowl, Patriots bounce back this year. If Tom Brady could leave after all the success in New England, Aaron Rodgers can leave Green Bay.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think there's any doubt about
that. And I think one of the better transitions back in the day, JR, was Manning leaving for the Broncos. And Luck came in, and, hey, he still had a pretty good product. Now, can you transition to that if your Green Bay is different? And the case of Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady, and all I was thinking about Tennessee, which all rumors were that was who turned him down. That's where he wanted to go. And they're kind of looking at Tannehill right now. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think you'd be very methodical in the whole process, which he probably will, of, hey, who is the absolute best team? I certainly want the money, but where is the best spot to go to? And I would assume, for all the names or all the places out there, I kind of point to Pittsburgh as being the one that would seem to be the best fit for him.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Denver feels like if you're thinking about it's almost the same situation Denver with Manning. When Manning went to Denver, it was like they needed the quarterback. They had the rest of the pieces. Like, the Denver Broncos have a really, really good team. Yeah. They just need a quarterback.
Yeah. Would you say the Colts on that list as well, Jer?
Yeah, but they're not going to – I mean, I guess they could move on from Carson Wentz, but with what they invested in dollars and what they invested in draft capital, it'd be hard to think that they're going to do that. But, yeah, well, any team that's going to add Aaron Rodgers – I mean, how many teams in the NFL really would say it's a downgrade to add Aaron Rodgers? Maybe two or three? Maybe?
Maybe Brady retires, he goes to Tampa?
There you go. Maybe.
Yeah. Tennessee would certainly be looking at that after the
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, it was an incredible weekend of football. Give us your thoughts. What you thought of the weekend. I think a lot of people weighing in on the overtime rule. What's the alternative? I guess maybe the best question of all. I think most people would agree doesn't seem right, but what's the best alternative? So we'll go through all of that with you. Love your feedback. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. We'll talk again throughout much of the morning about an incredible weekend in the divisional playoffs, with the conference championships now set. Niners and Rams in the NFC and the Chiefs and the Bengals in the AFC. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. Hour two is around the corner. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.